إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, to continue on yesterday's topic of becoming inspirational for our children and of limiting and actually prohibiting use of gadgets, use of screens, use of iPads, iPhones, Android phones and so on for children under the age of 12. And then also restricting it thereby, and also encouraging them to read by giving them a lot of books and so on. What I need to mention, of course, is that one of my friends wrote to me and said that if I stop my child now from using the iPad, he will scream and cry and, you know, make a big ruckus. So my submission to you is that you created it, so deal with it. If he screams, let him scream. How long will he scream? Once he finishes screaming, then explain to him nicely why you are doing that. And show him evidence and tell him this is what so-and-so is doing. And talk to them like as if you talk to adults, because they are intelligent. And they are intelligent enough to understand. So explain to them why this is, why you are doing that, why it's good for them. And that they will get this. Later on, it is for them to use. But not now. And now they must read and they must work with their hands, they must go outside and play and so on. All of these social skills that they get out of playing, especially team games, the good health they get from running around outside and being in touch with nature, with the earth, gardening, working with tools, carpentry, pottery, painting, drawing, reading, all of these are all things which add value, which teach, which help the child to grow, which give maturity, which give understanding. And we deprive the child of all of that by giving them gadgets. And as I explained, we are the culprits, because we give these gadgets really to, we think we are saving ourselves some time. You give the child an iPad and it is good for the next 4 hours. You don't have to worry about him. You sit him down in front of the television with some cartoon thing running there, and mindlessly he is staring at it for the next couple of hours. But this is a cop-out. This is really violence to those children. This is really taking away their rights, and I think we should be very clear about that. Now, building on that is the issue that if you are going to become inspirational for your child, then it's essential for you to work on your own development. As I mentioned yesterday, it's a sad fact of life that a lot of adults today, a lot of parents, spend absolutely no time, no money, no resource on their own personal development. And especially development holistically in terms of their whole selves. At the most, they might attend this training program or that training program, which is sponsored by their company or something like that. But other than that, there's absolutely no focus on learning, on tarbiyah, on developing themselves, on becoming better human beings, better people. Nothing, absolutely nothing. We just live our lives. Now, this is definitely not good enough, and also that's not going to make you very inspirational for your child, who has the whole world to compare with, and he will find you very, very lacking. And that's the reason why I think it's very important for you to take some time out for your own tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is not just reading books. Tarbiyah is actually not reading books at all. Reading books is more in the nature of acquiring more information, not even knowledge, information. And that's very important, because without information, you have absolutely nothing. You need the information. But to convert that information into actual, worthwhile, useful, beneficial action, you need tarbiyah. And the tarbiyah is the raising and the upbringing. And for the tarbiyah, you need a murabbi, you need a teacher, you need somebody, a coach, you need somebody who's a counselor, you need someone who's a mentor. And all of this is important for us to identify. It's not necessary. It's not necessary to have only a mentor in terms of religious of religion. I'm not saying must necessarily a murabbi is always a sheikh. No, you can have a murabbi in terms of your career. You can have a murabbi in terms of your physical fitness and so on. So you need people who you can look up to, people you can go to, who will correct you, who will give you feedback, who will critique you, people who you respect and admire for what they have done. people who you appreciate, not just by saying, oh, mashallah, subhanallah, what a wonderful person, you are a great asset to the community, we are so proud of you, and then you spend no time with that person. It makes absolutely no sense. People who, anyone who's worth anything for that person, that kind of praise has absolutely no value whatsoever. Because he knows that you don't even know what you're saying. When you say, I appreciate, you know, oh, you are such a learned person, you have no clue what you're saying, because you don't even understand one thing that I know. So how can your appreciation be worth anything? So it's not talking. It is going and spending time in that person's company, which we have any number of examples of this from the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Sahaba became Sahaba because of Suhbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not because of reading books or going to this or that university. The Sahaba became the Sahaba because of the Suhbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they would spend time in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would spend one day, and his Ansari brother would spend the other day. Sayyidina Ali would spend as much time as he wanted. Sayyidina Abu Bakr and so on. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu would spend time to the extent that he wouldn't even have time to eat. And he would be on the point of starvation. And the story, we know that once he actually fell down in a dead faint because of hunger and the weakness of hunger, because he hadn't eaten for days because he was constantly in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that's what gave them what they had. Now think about this. When people went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's not as if he was running a course. It wasn't as if he was teaching a book. He wasn't even teaching the Quran. It's not as if every time the Sahaba came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat them down and said, you know, these are the daqaiq of the Quran, and see how this word is used so many times. See how the Surah Al-Qamar, every ayat ends in a ra. See how there are so many repetitions, and each one there are so many, seven times this and eight times that. There is not a single hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ever explained the Quran in this way. Linguistics in terms of the miracles of the language of the Quran are all things that came on later on. Nothing wrong with that. Alhamdulillah, this is very good. It shows the thinking and the wisdom and the depth of knowledge of our Salaf and of our scholars. But the Prophet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not teach the Quran in this way. They did not teach the Quran in the way of explaining it in this sense. He did not even teach the Quran in this, except for Surah Al-Fatiha, where he mentioned in passing that this is Shifa. He didn't even say specifically, read this surah for that and that surah for that, and read surah, surah Inshara, if you have difficulties, and read surah Duha if you are in depression, because surah Duha is the cure for depression and Inshara is the cure for difficulties. He didn't say any of that. All of this stuff has come later. People have said from their own personal tajruba, their own personal experience, all of which, alhamdulillah, we respect it. But this is not wahi, and this is not from the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the key thing is to understand that whatever the sohbat of the Sahaba, sohbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was simply being in his presence, just being there, and maybe doing nothing. There's so many incidents of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sitting by the side of a well in a garden, and Abu Bakr came, and Omar came, radiallahu anhu, and they just sat with him. And then Uthman came, and they just sat with him. They did nothing else, they just sat with him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was lying down with his head on the lap of one of his Sahaba. Others were sitting around him. He wasn't holding a great religious discourse. He wasn't talking about some masala of fiqh. He was just lying down, and they were lying, and they were sitting there, with him. Just that's the company of the Sahaba. Now, this is something that we have to understand. We must take time out, take the company of people, because the thing is that many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the Shaykh, he inspires the Murabbi, he inspires the mentor to say things to you because you are there. It's not as if the mentor is sitting there with his knowledge waiting for you to come. No, but when you are there, Allah inspires the person, and the person says something, and that one day, one line is worth a whole lifetime to you. Because, and I can remember from the mentors I've had, and I've had mentors, alhamdulillah, I've had shuyukh, I've had ulama, but I've also had people who are not even Muslim, who are my mentors, and I learned a huge, huge, huge amount of knowledge from them. I learned a great deal from them. I learned life skills from them. I learned how to deal with people from them. Amazing. But the kind of time I spent one of them, I would spend my all
all entire of my summer and winter holidays with this friend of my father's, who was my mentor. I would go. He used to live in the jungle in a little hut, literally a small hut. Didn't even have a bathroom. I had to take a lota and go in the jungle in the morning. I used to stay with him for weeks at a time. I would literally live in his house. He would sleep on the veranda on one bed, and I would sleep on the other bed, charpais which were strung with rope, and we would just talk, and he would just talk to me. He would talk to me about politics. He would talk to me about his own life, ups and downs, goods and bad. He would talk to me about wildlife, what hunting, fishing, all kinds of things, and I learned huge life lessons from that. There's another mentor of mine who I spent a lot of time, again, hours and hours and hours. I'm not talking about a couple of sessions designed. No, I would just hang out with them. And this person was interested in dogs. He used to train dogs. He used to train guard dogs, tracking dogs for the police and so on. And that's where I learned how to train dogs. I learned to train guard dogs, police dogs. And I spent hours and hours and hours. He taught me how to ride a horse as well. And I learned a huge amount of knowledge from him. And his name was Nawab Nazir Yarzak. Alhamdulillah, he's elderly now. And, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him health, and may Allah give him perfect health, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve his difficulty. But I'm just saying that these are the people I owe what I am today. I owe to people like this, Nawab Nazir Yarzak, Venkat Rama Reddy Saab, and so many other people. I mean, I don't want to make a list of names now, but I'm saying that in my memoirs, my book which is being published, inshallah, in September it will be out. I've mentioned all these people by name because I owe them that much. So here is a situation where people, some Muslim, some not Muslim, some who knew the religion, some who were Muslim but who did not know Islamically, they weren't very knowledgeable, but they were wonderful, wise people, people with a lot of knowledge of life. And they taught me, and I learned. And I learned because I spent time with them. Now, today we have a situation where we claim that there is a dearth of people of knowledge, which is nonsense, because people live and people are knowledgeable. It's just that there is a dearth of people of understanding who can recognize people of knowledge. We are so stupid, but we blame others. And we say that there are no people of knowledge. People of knowledge are there. You are too dumb to see them. So that's very important for us to understand. Go look for them. Second thing is that, and they will be found in places where you normally wouldn't look, you wouldn't think of looking. So go and look for them. Second thing is, as I said, doesn't have to be a sheikh, doesn't have to be a great alim, can be anybody, but somebody with wisdom, who knows, who has seen life, who knows life. Go and sit with them, listen to them, talk to them. I'm not saying accept and swallow everything they tell you. By all means, use your brains. Allah gave you a brain. Use that. But spending time for your own personal development, that is an absolutely critical thing to do. And the thing to do with that is to go and spend time in the company of a murabbi, in the company of a person who can advise you and who can help you. Final point. It's not, many times people come to me and say, I want to be your murabbi. So I tell them, don't even think about it, because I am a lousy murabbi, because I'm hard, I'm disciplined. Most people are neither. People want the murabbi to just be sweet to them and give them a wazifa to read or something, or make dua for them. I said, I'm not that kind of a murabbi. That's a murabba, it's not a murabbi. Eh? And murabba is not in Arabic as in a grid, but murabba as in Urdu, which means a sweet. I'm definitely not sweet. So I'm saying that don't even come to me. Because if you come to me, if you want me to be your murabbi, then I will make you work. I will make you work. I will make you, do things that you will take you out of your comfort zone, and you won't like that. I won't like that. So stay away. So I never take anybody. But I'm just saying that even if somebody, if you accept somebody as, I mean, if somebody accepts you as being demented enough to be mentored by them. The thing is that go and spend time with those people. Don't just say, oh, so-and-so, I have taluk with this sheikh, I have taluk with that sheikh. And it's okay, in the last 1 year, you have taluk with this sheikh. How many hours did you spend with that sheikh? Well, I think in the last 1 year, I spent maybe half an hour. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. People who had taluk with their shuyukh spend months and years with them, not hours. They spent years with them. And that's how they learn something. And that's very important to understand. Go, don't make a nuisance of yourself, but by all means, go and spend time with them. Don't impinge on their time. Don't dictate. Many times, some people come to me, can I meet you at such and such a time? So I say, no, well, can you come at Asr? No, but I'm busy. I say, excuse me, whose need is it? Mine or yours? You're busy? Go be busy. Who cares? It's your life. You want to meet me? Then you come to me at my terms. I will meet you when it's convenient for me to meet you, not when it's convenient for you to meet me. There's zero adab, and that's why you don't learn, because there is no adab. So don't impose yourself on the murabbi, on the sheikh. You go and say, I would like to meet you. You tell me what is convenient for you. I will come. Go and sit there. There's a beautiful story of one of the senior sahaba went to the house of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu to ask him a question. And Abdullah ibn Abbas was a young man. Now Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu at that time was sleeping. It was the middle of the very hot day, time for siesta, he was sleeping. So this senior sahabi, he went and he sat down outside the house of Abdullah ibn Abbas in the shade of the wall. And he sat there until Abdullah ibn Abbas woke up. When Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he woke up and he came out and he saw him there, he said, Ammi, he said, my uncle, why are you sitting here? So he said, I came to ask you a question. He said, Subhanallah, this is zulm on me. You should have hammered on the door. You should have knocked on the door. I would have. He said, no. He said, you were sleeping. He said, so what if I was sleeping? You are my uncle. You are my senior. You are my elder. You should have knocked on the door. I would have welcomed you into my house. He said, no. He said, I came for my need, and therefore I will sit here until you are ready. And when you come out, I will ask you. He said, I will not disturb you while you are sleeping, because the need is mine. Now this is the adab of the sahaba. This is why people learned. And this is what we were taught. I remember we used to go to the house of our sheikh, and we would literally on the weekend, we would camp there. We just go sit there, and we would just sit outside in the courtyard. Sometimes he wouldn't come out the whole day, because he would be in the house doing whatever he was doing. And then at the time of Zuhr or something, he would come out, he would pray, and he would go back again. He would send out some food for us, we would eat, we would sleep in the afternoon, we'd wake up, he would come out faster, then maybe he'd sit for a while, you know, have some tea. And that whole weekend, he never taught us anything. But the whole point of, you know, sitting there, looking at him, listening to him, praying behind him, maybe he said something which touches your heart. I mean, this is how learning comes. That's the whole meaning of tarbiyah. Of seeking knowledge, of seeking correction, not knowledge, seeking self-correction. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to get the tarbiyah that we need, so that we become inspiration for our children. Because if you are just the provider of the fodder for the child, then believe me, there is no respect, there is no izzah, and there is nothing that the child will really learn from you, because you have nothing to teach. So my submission to my brothers and sisters, find mentors for yourself, find mentors in your career areas, find mentors in your knowledge areas, find mentors in deen, and go and serve them and be with them and learn from them, because that's the only way that you will really have a chance of developing yourself to a point where you will have you will be inspiration for your children. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.